and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. A certain man had four sons. No, he had two sons, right? No, but my father did have two sons, of which I am one. And so I do relate heavily to this this parable, clearly not as the father, but certainly as one of the sons. And in considering this parable, I once again turn to the beautiful Kantakia of St. Romanos. I shared this book several times last year on the life of Christ, the Kantakia of St. Romanos. Just such beautiful reflections on various episodes of Christ's life and his teaching. St. Romanos writes of this parable of the prodigal son, "Let us contemplate a supper magnificently spread for the former prodigal, now become temperate. For his father, or rather the father of all humankind, receives him repentant in his love for all humankind. Rejoicing at his repentance, he says to the servants, 'Hurry, make ready for us the all-holy supper. Hurry, above all, sacrifice the calf to which a virgin heifer gave birth. Because my son was lost, and it has now been found. But let us celebrate. He was dead and has returned to life, and I have taken him to my bosom, I, the Master and Lord of the ages. What is the banquet? Let us first learn of the supper from the Gospels, so that we may too celebrate. I will therefore recall the parable of the prodigal, for he was formerly stripped bare of every grace, having squandered all his substance. And he runs to his father with many lamentations, crying, 'Father, I have sinned.' So the one who sees all things hurried and met him and kissed him, flung his arms around the neck of the one who had returned. For he is the God of the repentant. In his compassion, he had mercy on the son who had fallen. He, the Master and Lord of the ages." Contrary to appearances, I take great comfort in this parable. And no matter how far the country is that we wander to, there's always a way back. And the Father is always always ready to receive us when we finally come to ourselves. Now the prodigal, reaping the reward of his wandering, was content to live among the unclean pigs. In fact, he was not only content to live among them, but was even jealous of the food they had to eat. He had become unrecognizable as his father's son in every way. He truly had lost himself. And yet, in a moment of God-given clarity, he remembered the blessings that he had at his father's house. And uncontented as he may have been with his previous life, he now longed for it. Now, there's a priest that I grew up with in Santa Barbara, Father Peter John Gilquist, son of Father Peter Gilquist, who in his younger years wrote lots of Orthodox rock and pop songs. And he wrote one about this parable of the prodigal son. And the refrain of this song that was repeated over and over again goes, "When he came to himself, he said, 'Though the servants of my father have enough to eat, still I perish with hunger. I'll arise and say to my father then, against heaven and you have I sinned, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" And so the prodigal comes to himself and he repents. He lifts himself up out of the pigsty. And it's precisely this act of identifying as a repentant sinner that he began his journey home to his Father's kingdom. Now each of us has sinned, but will we join the prodigal in his humble repentance towards salvation? Will we join him in honoring the Father with our return? Now, in the sacrament of confession, the prodigal son, together with David the king, who confessed his sins, Peter, weeping bitterly for his denial, the sinful woman in tears at Christ's feet, and the publican is remembered. He's mentioned in the prayers of absolution. For God has forgiven these and countless others. And we ask to be counted with them as repentant sinners. For there is no far country, there is no far country into which we can wander that is impossible to return from. So the prodigal sincerely repented. He humbly acknowledged his sin, and he knew that he was unworthy of sonship. So much so that he was content simply to become a servant in his Father's home. Now this humble repentance, this is the prerequisite, the cost of entry for the banquet. Now the son approaching the house, when he came into view of his father, the father saw not the sin, but his son. The son's image was malnourished. It was ill-clad, dirty, yet desiring to return to health and purity. And in his great love for his child, the father raised him up, showered him with love and mercy beyond his imagination. St. Romanos describes this part of the parable. From the father's perspective, I saw him and I cannot allow myself to overlook his nakedness. I cannot bear to see my divine image like this. For the disgrace of my child is my shame. I will consider the glory of my child my own glory. Hurry then, my servants and ministers, to make all his limbs beautiful once again. For they are objects of my love. For I judge it improper to see unprovided for or unadorned the one who has run to me in repentance and has been found worthy of forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, this is our God who called for the calf to be sacrificed for the banquet. Christ, who is slain for us and becomes food for the Eucharistic banquet.
You ready to go back to mommy? Okay.
Forgive me. It's overwhelming when you consider the great love that the Father has for his children. For us, and for me.
though we don't deserve any of it.
Certainly this is true of me. But the father, in his love for his younger son, did not refuse the inheritance when asked. He did not forbid him to leave. He did not seek him out and force him to return. But he patiently and lovingly awaited for him to come to himself in repentance and return on his own. And we have that same opportunity always, but especially during this upcoming season of Lent. Now the older son was jealous of his brother being welcomed back home. But what had changed for this older son, who rather than referring to his brother as my brother, refers to him as that son of yours? He's no brother of mine, but that son of yours. What changed for him? His father still loved him. His inheritance was not diminished or taken away. So why should the mercy and the continued love of his father for his brother and his father's joy at his brother's return, why should this be any less than his own joy? St. Paul comments on God's merciful judgment in Romans 9. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Nothing had changed for this brother, for this oldest son. This just goes to illustrate that comparing what God has given us to what he gives to another is never helpful and almost always destructive. And even in the older son's anger and jealousy, still the father loved him. He didn't chastise him for reacting in this way, but gently explains his love for them both. St. Romanos picks this part up beautifully as well. Offering his right hand, the compassionate one raised the fallen son, and likewise he supported the other who was standing. The one who was laid low, he raised up in his compassion, while he would in no way allow the one who stood to fall. The one in poverty, he enriches. And the one in wealth, he would not allow to become poor, but save them all, the compassionate master and lord of the ages. And so, brothers and sisters, let us avoid missing out on the banquet. If we have anger at the great love of the Father for his wayward children. For when the Master forgives his servant, the servant is forgiven, and his offense is no longer considered. But rather, we must rejoice at the reconciliation that has taken place. Now, the gospel is unclear about the older son, if he was convinced by his father's kind words or not. It stops at the father rejoicing at the return of his son in the presence of the eldest. And I think most people assume that the oldest son continued in his stubbornness, anger, and jealousy. I prefer St. Romanos is thinking that he accepted his father's judgment and joined the banquet, joining the celebration of his brother's repentance. And so I'll end with the final prayer that St. Romanos offers. O Son and Word of God, Creator of all things, we, your unworthy servants, ask and implore you, have mercy on all who call upon you. As you did the prodigal, spare them who have sinned. Accept and save through compassion those who in repentance run to you. O King, crying, we have sinned. Give us tears as you did the harlot, and pardon us for the sins we have committed. And as you did the publican, take pity on us all at the intercessions of the Theotokos. Make us partakers of your supper as you did the prodigal, Master and Lord of the ages. Amen.